Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this SmackDown Friday night. 404-741-0929. That, of course, is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. Of course, we ask you to download the Radio.com app. That's how you listen to the radio station when you're not in your vehicle, when you know you're not spending as much time there. So make sure that you have it downloaded on your device today. Take that smartphone that you've got. Take those Alexa speakers that you've got. Take the take the tablet that you got, or take your Swatch watch, or take your Commodore 64, your Intellivision, your Game Boy, your Coleco. I don't know, whatever you got for a device, just download it on to that so that you can catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the different platforms. As always, the best way to be involved in our show, reach us through our personal Twitter pages. Hit me up. It's at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Dylan, by the way, in tonight for Jarvis. Jarvis back with us on Monday. He'll be back with us on Fridays, too. So he's taking a few Fridays off in a row here. The benefits of having some vacation time off, so he'll be back with us on Monday. Watching some Braves baseball is taking on the Mets. So far, so good for the Braves. We'll flip back and forth between some SmackDown coming up in 20 minutes. We'll be joined by Atlanta United color analyst Jason Longshore, of course, part of the broadcast team, along with he and Mike Conney, that call the action, trying to figure out when Atlanta United will be actually back in action, but more importantly is, where are we in the search for their next manager? So we'll talk to him coming up in a little bit. Also, too, later on tonight, we're going to talk to our buddy, former co-worker of mine, one of the great rock hunters of all time, and Bob Berger. So one is we'd catch up with Bob. We haven't caught up and talked with him in a long time. And also, too, with the passing of Regis Philbin, we'll have a little bit of fun with Bob. Try to keep it light and breezy here. Dance party coming up at 10. Rank'em coming up. I mean, we got a lot going on here this evening. Now, who else also has a lot right now is Rob Manfred. Now, we had the Miami Marlins situation where they had 21 members of the organization, between players, coaches, what have you, that tested positive for COVID-19. Coming off of their series in Philadelphia and on the way down to Miami, it looks like there was a stop off in Atlanta that really made things go sideways. And to be honest with you, I mean, it's all coming into Atlanta. The reports are they were reckless. They did not follow protocols. They were out in bars, this, that, and the other. And now they've been shut down through at least this weekend, and who knows how long. Now piggyback off the fact that a couple of St. Louis Cardinals players tested positive for it. They're shut down. They're shut down right now against the Milwaukee Brewers, okay? And, of course, because of what happened with the Marlins, the Phillies and Yankees, they weren't able to play their series this week either. So, what we see, obviously, is that once – oh, God, here we go. Oh, we're doing the Zoom thing on the jumbo. Oh, God. They're just showing the Zoom. Can we just stay away from the Zoom? I'm watching Sean Newcomb. Let him just do his thing. Let me see him warming up and how he's throwing. I don't need the Zoom.
Chuck, do you want me to see if Paul Bird will let you on the Zoom call while we're doing the show?
It's just, again, you know, can we stop with the Zoom? It's bad enough that we got like thousands. Listen, the only thing that's good about the cardboard cutouts is that it's helping a good cause. Otherwise, they look ridiculous. They legitimately look ridiculous. Like they look like they were cut by my daughter's fifth grade class. I don't want to get started. I don't want to get aggravated with all of this. But when you talk about getting aggravated, supposedly the commissioner very much aggravated. And supposedly the commissioner has let the Players Association know that, look, if he has to shut this thing down, he'll shut this thing down. And that if they continue any reckless behavior, look, so let's separate fact from fiction when we talk about all of these things, okay? Statistically speaking, is there a real danger to players if they test positive for COVID-19? The stats say no. Does that mean 100%? No, of course not. Nothing is 100%. I mean, if you develop the flu, you know, you can run the risk of still dying from it, okay? But statistically speaking, the athletes themselves are going to be fine by and large. Unfortunately, there will be a few guys that will suffer effects, and it could be traumatic. Now, add that into the fact that the PR perception is if you have guys testing positive, you can't play. You can't just be reckless and go out and play once you start to get positive tests. And the problem, like what you see with the Marlins, is if you have one team go rogue, it will ruin it for everybody because that will spread. Because they affected the Marlins, not just the teams they were playing, not just themselves. They affected the two teams they were supposed to play this week. They affected the Phillies who weren't able to play. They affected the Yankees who couldn't play because they had to go to Philadelphia. And it goes on and on and on and on. And I'll be honest with you, I really do think if you have one more sort of team that for whatever reason, whether it's their fault or not their fault, in the case of the Marlins, it's their fault. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to, since I get paid for my opinion, I'm going to give you my hypothesis. The Marlins know they ain't winning nothing. The Marlins know they ain't going to do nothing. Why not just have some fun, screw it, we'll make a little bit of money, we'll play 60 games, it won't be that long, and we'll just move on. And I really do think that that's the mindset when you talk about a team like the Marlins. What do they care about 60 games? They're not going to win enough games to get in the playoffs. They know that they're not a very good team. What do they have to gain by trying to hunker down and be, well, you know, that may be a spot. Okay, what's the Marlins going to do? Trade you? Please. Would you please, pretty please, trade me out of Florida? So what do they have to be, you know, straight-laced about? Now, like, I'm not telling you that's a factual thing. I'm just saying, does it surprise you that maybe the worst team in baseball is the one who's causing havoc? No. Because they weren't going to be in the playoffs anyway. What difference does it make? They know that. You think they don't understand that they don't have a shot in a division with the Nationals, Braves, and Mets and Phillies? Come on, man.
Well, anything can happen in sports.
Come on, man. You know full well that the Marlins know that this season is a waste. And we'll show up for 60 games because we can get some salary at least out of it. We'll get through it. But, hey, let's have some fun with it. And I think that was their mindset. I mean, how else do you explain the recklessness of what they did? I don't know. But because of it, it might shut down baseball. And we had, who did we have on? We had our baseball insider, Eno Karras, I think his name was. And I said, I don't think they're going to play 60 games. Now, we're going to get 2 7-inning doubleheaders like we're back to playing Little League ball. I mean, if we have to dumb this thing down so far, maybe it's just time to pull the plug. I mean, honestly, maybe you punish the Marlins and say, you're out. You're out. If you can't follow protocols, you're out. Nobody else gets paid, you're out. And if you have to sacrifice the Marlins for the good of baseball, then do it. If my options are hope for the best, the season gets shut down, or you take a team like the Marlins and say, you're out. Because how else are you going to control this thing? How else are you going to stem the tide on this? Because I think personally, it's virtually impossible to think that you're not going to have positive tests. Now, 2 tests for a team is one thing. 21 for a team is another. And that's where the problem is you spread it around to everybody. You spread it to people that you come in contact with. You spread it to people who will be at risk if you're not careful. See, that's where the science starts to come in of you yourself may be fine, but what about everybody else that gets exposed to it? How does everybody else respond and react to it? And it's a terrible look. Look, right now, baseball looks like a joke because the NBA and MLS have their bubbles and their protocols and things are working. You know, the Dallas and the Nashville thing weren't because of erratic behavior inside the bubble. Dallas was out before they got there. They didn't even get there. So, look, if you're going to have a team go rogue, and I don't care who it is, if it's the Yankees, if it's the Marlins, if you go rogue, kick them out. Because if not, you're not going to have a season. You're not. Because if you have one team, like I said, look what the Marlins have done. They've wrecked it for themselves. They've wrecked it for the teams they were supposed to play. They wrecked it for the Phillies. They wrecked it for the Yankees. So now you have 6 teams that are, you know, in cahoots, you know, not in cahoots, but you have 6 teams that are, you know, now directly affected by what's going on with all this. Now you have 6 teams that are like, okay, now we're behind and we have to try. And again, how many 7-inning doubleheaders can you keep trying to schedule to make things up? I'm sorry, but that's just not a feasible plan. And to be honest with you, if I'm the other teams, I'm saying to myself, wait a second, why do they only get 7 innings? Why do I suffer that I did things right and I got to play full games, but these guys get to play 7-inning games? How's that fair? See, that's the problem, is that there's so many tentacles to it. And what makes it even worse, does anybody, I mean anybody outside the people that live under the roof of Rob Manfred, have any trust or faith in him? Outside of his direct bloodline family, that you could go to Ancestry.com and look at directly his tree, does anybody trust Rob Manfred and his leadership ability? Because so far, he's been the laughingstock. He's made Gary Bettman look like Kennesaw Mountain Landis. Hey? Or Pete Rozelle. Baseball's got a big problem on its hands. I'm not convinced that they're going to get 60 games in. I'm not convinced all these teams are going to do it because somebody else will go rogue. And I hate to say it that way, it's hard to control millionaire, you know, 24-year-old millionaires that have life by the cojones, that think they're invincible, okay? And maybe they are. The problem is that the tentacles that spread and the fact that they affect everybody that's around them. All right, when we get back, Jason Longshore, Atlanta United color analyst, will join us. We'll talk to him about where the future is right now for Atlanta United. It's all up next. It is John Chuckwood Show, Sports Radio 99 The Game, and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckwood Show. I'm hanging out with you on this Friday evening, SmackDown Friday evening. Watch a little Braves baseball. Of course, home Reds tonight as they're taking on the New York Mets. We'll keep you up to date with everything going on there as Braves continue this nine-game homestand, you know, in the midst of a 20-game start to their regular season. Watching some SmackDown as well. We'll talk to our friend Bob Berger coming up at the 9:40 this evening, have a little bit of fun with him. We still got Rankin coming up. We still got Brown Liquor Music Hour. Of course, it's the dance party since it's Friday. Lots of stuff to get into. Second half of the show, it'll be pretty loosey-goosey the rest of the way through for the week. But as we try to sort out what is going on with the Atlanta United, when will we play, who will manage, roster moves that are going on, lots to get into. Head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Of course, our guy Jason Longshore is joining us, color analyst for all things Atlanta United. Of course, one half the broadcast team, along with himself and Mike Connie. They have all of your Atlanta United action. I'd say he's got a match coming up, but hell, we don't know exactly what the date is going to be. But at least follow him on Twitter, at Longshoe, to make sure you keep up to date with all the news. And notes. Jason, my friend, how we doing?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm good. Before we get into, you know, Atlanta United, give me your thoughts about Major League Baseball, because I'm telling you, I don't think people understand. They get one more Miami Marlins, they may shut this thing down. I mean, I do think it's that perilous. I don't think they want the PR of another team that just truthfully went rogue on them and affected about six other teams right now.
I'm blown away that this is where we're at with it. If you go back to the Bundesliga in Germany, which was the first major league to come back, one thing that their CEO, club presidents, managers, players consistently said was they understood that they had a huge responsibility to follow the protocols, not just for themselves, not just for their team, but for their competitors, and also for the game, because you know, they were the first. Everybody else was looking at them. And for Major League Baseball to come back and just, you know, is it just the Marlins deciding that, no, they don't want to follow the protocols, it doesn't really matter, are they being reckless? I mean, for whatever reason, now they've affected the whole league and American sports as a whole, because other leagues have to be looking at it and saying, man, how can we avoid a Marlins situation? It's ridiculous. It just should not be happening. And the more that comes out about it and you hear these different whispers about, you know, going out at night and doing things they're not supposed to be doing, it's not going to work if teams do that. It's just not.
No, and it's even crazier because it all seems to center around Atlanta, whether it's Lou Williams or the Marlins or, I don't know, Jason. I mean, they can't blame me for this one. But anyway.
They might find a way.
You know, yeah, they will. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. Somebody will. They'll be on the text line yelling at me for something. Atlanta United made a roster move today, correct? They made a move?
Yeah, a couple, actually. Joseph Martinez goes on the season-ending injury list. Kubo Torres comes into the team to replace him on the roster. It's an interesting one. There were questions about why, you know, you waited till now on Joseph, and it was, you know, said that you didn't really know what you would need to do with that roster spot. And that's what's been so tricky about the season. You know, if it was a normal season, the injury happened when it did at the beginning of the year, game one, February 29th, and you would have had some games to figure out, okay, do I have what I need? Do I need to go out into the market? The transfer window would have also been open at that time, too. It would have been completely different. Well, then, you know, your season gets stopped. You come back cold into three games. You play poorly. You need more firepower. And in the meantime, Kubo Torres' contract has run out with Club Tijuana in Mexico. So you're able to get him out of contract on a free transfer and bring him in. And he's a guy who scored double-digit goals in his two full MLS seasons. Now, he struggled outside of that. He struggled with clubs in Mexico. But in MLS, he's been very strong. You get him on a free, it's a good fit.
Jason Longshore here on the WaitFor.com hotline, color analyst for all things Atlanta United, joining us here on this Friday evening. You're in charge of Atlanta United. I'm going to put you in charge. You're going to be Darren Eales and Carlos Bocanegra. We're going to call you either – we can call you Darren Longshore or we can call you Jason Bocanegra. I don't care what we want to call you. Give to me what the next manager of this team should look like. I don't even care about a name, but what should the next person, young, old, excited? I mean, give me the blueprint for what you think this team needs.
It's a good question, and it's tough because I think what we saw with Frank DeBoer was a lack of chemistry. And it's one of the hardest things to judge, is you have to bring in somebody who fits with the group of players you have. You have to bring in somebody that can form a strong relationship with them. And that's one of the things that's really difficult to quantify. And it's not going to be an easy process right now, because you know, your normal job search kind of road here, where you bring people in for interviews, not exactly easy to do. And that's where I think you're going to get to know somebody the best. I lean a little younger in that sense. I think you want somebody who can relate to this group of players. It is a pretty young group. I think Atlanta United in general will have a younger roster on average. So you want somebody who gets it, but I think you need somebody with experience as well. And that's not an easy combination to find, because you know, if you go with a younger manager who doesn't have as much experience, this isn't a run-of-the-mill job. This is a team with huge expectations. This is a team that had a manager who came in and finished third in the overall table last year and won two trophies, and that wasn't up to standards, which is accurate. So you have to get experience, youth who can relate to this group of players and get the most out of them. And I think you need somebody who has that tactical flexibility, because that's what this, I think, league calls for, because you get so many different kinds of opponents. You have a salary cap. You're going to have injuries. You're going to have situations where you have to adjust. You want somebody with flexibility. That's not an easy resume to go find.
Jason, it wouldn't be an interview with us if I didn't at least tie some wrestling into it in some way.
Oh, of course.
Steve Austin always said that his biggest regret was what happened at the end of WrestleMania 17, when he turns heel and he shakes hands with Mr. McMahon and they side up and all this kind of stuff. And it literally did hurt the business. If you look at WWE, they actually took a big financial hit after he did that, and he's always regretted that. I mean, you know, that was never the right time to do all of that. And I say that to, let's tie it into Atlanta United, because the message is hindsight is always 20/20. I mean, that it's always easy to look back and say. So let's use hindsight. When we look back, was it always a square peg in a round hole with Frank DeBoer coming here?
I don't think it was. I think the question would have been the big difference in personality. You know, on the field, and you know, I think I might be out on an island on this. One, I don't think Frank DeBoer ever got the team consistently where he wanted them to be. But when I think they played their best last season, it's not that far off from what Tata Martino wanted the team to be either. So the on the field part, I don't have as big of a problem with. It's, you know, everything we've heard from the off the field and from the locker room, that relationship never happened. And if you could have been able to tell at that time that this just isn't going to work, and it's a very different personality, that would be the alarm that you don't go in that direction. I don't know if you could tell that at the time.
This is even maybe a stranger question. Is Joseph Martinez too important to this organization?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, in this sport, goal scorers are special and at a premium. And when you have a great one, you cherish it. I mean, look at Barcelona and Lionel Messi, and you could say the same about him. You know, as he goes, Barcelona goes. Teams that Cristiano Ronaldo's been in. Real Madrid went into a tailspin when he went to Juventus for a minute, and they found a way out of it. Took some time, but they did. Goal scorers are special, and you don't want to diminish his importance, and you want him to be as productive as he can for as long as he can in the red and black stripes.
It just, you know, and you and I had this talk the last time we got together. Jason Longshore joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. I mean, it's not like this organization won't give you everything you want. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's international, local. I mean, I don't care what it is. I mean, if it's going to Omaha, Nebraska to find the next guy, they'll do that and they'll spend the money. And I think that, and again, I keep going back to this as a fan, that what's the disconnect? I mean, it's not like they haven't spent money. It's not like they don't have good players. It's not like they haven't gone out and gotten, you know, talent for this team. It just seems like, okay, you know, Joseph's always at, as I always say on this show, you know, when in emergency, just break glass and Joseph will be there. And it just seems just frustrating that whether it's the manager, players, whatever, that this team doesn't at least look better. I'm not saying they got to go out and win a title without Joseph, but I mean, man, I mean, I think we think that the roster and the front office should have this franchise in a better state than what it feels like we're in right now, just, what, 4 years in?
Yeah, but you also have to look at where you are 4 years in. You know, this team has been consistently near the top of the league from day one, and this is really the first adversity we've seen. And again, it's in a year that none of us have seen because, you know, in a normal season, we would be going into match week 6, which would put us beginning of April, maybe mid-April, and you would have 28 games to go, plus Open Cup, plus anything else you got on your calendar. It feels different, but I don't know if that's really fair. You know, the injury to Joseph is something you would have had to deal with, you would have struggled with no matter what. But the lack of ability to fix it, it's one reason why I think you had a mutually parting of the ways with Frank DeBoer, because it didn't seem like there were answers from what we saw in Orlando, and that was not a good enough performance in general at all. Solutions weren't there. But also, you haven't had a whole lot of time to fix it. You know, it's only been 4 league games since the injury. It's been a long time on the calendar, but it's only been 4 league games. Kubo Torres should help. I think he's a more reasonable facsimile for Joseph Martinez. But it's going to be about that chemistry up top. If it's Torres, if it's Adam John, if it's J.J. Williams, if it's some combination with Pity Martinez up top, they have to find the right chemistry on the field as well. That was incredibly lacking in Orlando.
And I've only got a few seconds left, but you hit on something that I got to ask. I mean, okay, let's say if it legitimately was a parting of the ways. Well, that means that Frank DeBoer either didn't have confidence in himself or the organization that this could get better. What does that say about a guy that, on one hand, we say, well, he won 2 trophies and he's done this and done that, but he looked at it and said, this can't be fixed? Or, I mean, if it really was a parting of the ways, if it's a mutual parting of the ways, that means both sides have angst about moving forward with one another.
The only hard part about that is with what we're facing at the moment. And in the Athletic article from Felipe Cardenas and Paul Tenorio, they talked about how Frank had to return to the Netherlands at the beginning of the team coming back to training. We don't know if there's anything else going on in terms of, you know, going back home or anything like that. And without really hearing Frank's side, we're all kind of jumping to conclusions on that.
Yeah, it is an interesting dynamic that, you know, you don't normally think of maybe the best teams in the sport that, I mean, look, it's not like Frank DeBoer was Billy Martin, but, you know, what do I know at this point? He's on Twitter, @Longshoe. Jason Longshore, color analyst for all things Atlanta United here. Join us on the waitfor.com hotline. Jason, as always, appreciate it, buddy. Be safe, be well, have fun. We'll talk to you here real soon.
Yeah, catch up with you soon.
You got it. When we get back, it will be time for What's Bugging Chukri. Yeah, I had to respond to a dumb tweet. Somebody maybe needs to tell the NFL guy to just stick to football. I'll discuss this next. John Chukri Show. SmackDown Friday, Braves baseball, Cano homered. Watching that and some SmackDown Sports Radio Nights on the Game and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you here on the John Chukri Show, hanging out on this Friday evening, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Somebody asking on Twitter, are we doing Rank'em tonight? Oh, yeah. Listen, it wouldn't be a Friday without some Rank'em, would it? So we'll be doing that coming up at 10:40 this evening. So we'll ask you for your list on the text line and your list on my Twitter page. Don't forget the radio.com app is how you listen to us when you're not in your vehicle. Speaking of social media, it's at 929 The Game. Excuse me. Follow myself. It's at JMCH316. Braves go to the bullpen. Chassin is now in, taking over for Sean Newcomb. Gave up the home run to Robinson Cano here. Now a pitching change as the Braves head into their bullpen. So we'll keep you up to date on everything that is going on there as well. So lots to get into still here with you. It's going to be a fun second half of the Friday night the show. We'll do our Falcon Flyer, of course, at the top of the hour. Also, I'm sitting here enjoying some air fryer chicken thighs. You know, we did the big pork roast over the weekend and was eating on that for a few days, and then I picked up a pack of chicken thighs, so they went in the air fryer. And I tried a new sauce, by the way. I tried a new, it's sort of a mustard base kind of vinegar, barbecue, mustardish kind of sauce that they had. It's a little bit thinner than I like. I wish it was just a little bit thicker. But after cooking up the wings for about 20 minutes, and their thighs, I should say, for about 20 minutes, man, coated them down. And actually, I took both sauces because when I poured it all out, I was like, yeah, this looks pretty good. But let me get my thicker mustard sauce, you know, on there. Let me bake and coat those bad boys. And man, it's good. I don't care. Listen, I don't care what anybody says, man. I try to eat a good bit of chicken and not eat as much red meat as what I was before. I mean, I still love a great steak, but that chicken in the air fryer is so good, man. It's such good stuff, man. I will say, I got to learn how to keep doing more and more things in the air fryer. I want to try all kinds of different things and stuff in it. So, we'll talk to our buddy too, by the way, Bob Berger, coming up at 9:40 this evening. We'll catch up with Bob. I want to have him on to talk a little bit about he used to interact a lot with Regis Philbin and guys like that. So listen, Bob's a legend, man. I mean, say what you will, but he is one of the great bon vivant raconteurs of our generation. So we'll have a little bit of fun with a former employee of ours, a former colleague, I guess you will, of mine. So speaking of colleagues, though, let's get to something that we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
By the way, why does it feel like that every reliever that comes in to a game for the Braves has to give up, you know, let a couple of runs in? Like that whole first batter thing or whatever, that stat that they use for something. Why does it feel like every Braves reliever, every time they come into a game, has to give up a single that drives in a run? Now, of course, you know, Chacin just did it. He doesn't get, you know, he doesn't get the run charged against him. That'll go against Sean Newcomb. But why does it seem like every Braves reliever that comes into the game feels like that they, if they have guys on base, they got to give up a run and get them off? I don't know. I don't understand. So, it sure seems like some of the same guys keep getting the you know, opportunity. By the way, the Mets lead now 3-2 in this game with that. So, there you go. Lordy, still 3-2. Let me make sure I got the right score here. 4-2 now. Yeah, because they just. Cano's home run made it 3-2, and now they just added another run on top of it. So, like I said, why every Braves reliever feels like they have to come in and give up some sort of runs or whatever just boggles my mind. But anyway, I thought this bullpen was supposed to be great and all that kind of stuff. Darren O'Day, he stunk it up. Anyway, where's why does it feel like we don't ever see Martin, you know, we barely see Melanson or Green? I know Will Smith is, you know, finally getting back, and he's going to be back soon, but why does it feel like all the high-priced guys that the Braves have never pitch? Why does it feel like it's always Darren O'Day, Luke Jackson, or Chacin? Anyway, observations from a frustrated mind. You know, not to be that guy, okay, but sometimes in life, you know, maybe you should stick to what you know for all of it. So if you know who Ben Volen is, NFL writer for the Boston Globe, it's got 81,200 followers on Twitter. Now, not that that makes you smarter or wiser, but, you know, you would think that a guy who's, of course, let me say, he is part of the blue check the blue checkmark brigade, right? So they're the blue checkmark that everything they say must be intelligent or bright. So Ben put out a tweet today. You know, obviously we just talked about the baseball season and what's going on and, you know, running the risk of, is this thing going to be around? He tweeted out, he said, cancel the MLB season and do an 8-team super tournament involving the Red Sox, Yankees, Mets, Cubs, Cardinals, Astros, Dodgers, and Giants. And then he says, who says no? Well, first off, I'll say no, okay? Now, he says, you know, his thing is, well, to make the most money, you have to choose the most popular teams. Okay, so let me see here about the Mets. So let's see. Huh, where could I find another team? So I have a team in the, depending on what month you're looking at, the number 7 or 8 media market in the nation. That's pretty good, right? Top 8 media market in America? Okay, that's pretty good. And that particular baseball team that plays in that number 7 or 8 media market, let's see, they average more fans per game at their home games. They had a higher total attendance for last year. Oh, they get higher local media ratings, TV ratings, than the Mets do. Oh, they have a national brand where they are one of the largest regional followed baseball organizations in the country. Oh, they have the largest radio network of any Major League Baseball team in the country. Oh, they also have won back-to-back divisions and been to the playoffs the last couple of years. Oh, and they have the best, maybe most exciting young player in Major League Baseball. The guy who everybody across the nation, from sea to shining sea, from North Canada to South Mexico, everybody talks about Ronald Acuna Jr. So explain to me again how you'd have an 8-team tournament in baseball that would have the Mets over the Braves. By what metric? No matter what metric you point to, unless your answer is, well, it's New York. Oh, okay. What has that done? Because more people watch the Braves on TV, more people go to the games, more people per game go to the Braves. The Braves have had more success. They have more exciting players. So what exactly is the metric other than if you trot out the stupid New York card? But I guess if you are a guy in Boston, that's what they have to hang on. I'd even agree with them about the Red Sox. But if you have the Yankees, you don't need the Mets. Nobody cares about the Mets. Sorry. That's mythology to think about people care about the Mets. Go look at the footprint that the Atlanta Braves create. Go look at the footprint they create through the southeastern part of the United States. Go look at the footprint their TV and radio network creates. Go look at the buzz and excitement around the players on this team. How many highlight reels did Ronnie get featured on last year? A lot would be the answer. And with all due respect to Alonso, he doesn't move the meter in baseball. Not the way Ronald Acuna Jr. does. And the style and the look and his ability and 40-40 and all the unique things about him. Oh, yeah. Did I mention that Atlanta is still the number 7-8 media market in America? It's not Omaha, Nebraska. Nobody is saying grab somebody from Myrtle Beach and put them on. It's still one of the big cities. Yes, I know it's hard to believe for some people outside of Boston and New York. Atlanta is a big city. Okay? This is like the Matt Ryan thing. So, unless you're Brady or Breeze or Rodgers, you can't be great. Is that what you're telling me? Because it's the same argument. If you don't think Matt Ryan isn't a top-tier quarterback, then that's obviously your mentality as to why you'd say something stupid to have the Giants and the Mets in over Atlanta. There's no metric that tells you that either of those teams, especially the Mets. And let me tell you how hard this is to find. I did the research. You can find Major League attendance numbers rather easy for total people and per game attendance. You can find the Forbes article that I found that gives you all of the local TV viewership for the previous season. Not hard to find. It took me all of about 8 seconds to find the information. Listen, one thing about America, it's your right to be a dope, okay? But this is one of those times that, with all due respect, as an NFL writer, you should probably stick to football. I want to look up what he thinks about Matt Ryan, because my guess is if he thinks the Mets should be involved in any 18 playoff over the Atlanta Braves, then he probably thinks that Matt Ryan is a low-tier quarterback as well, which would also make his opinion invalid as well. Do us a favor, Ben. Run over to Dunkin', get you a bagel and coffee, and sit this one out. And that's what's bugging Chuckery. 404-741-0929. That, of course, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We will, speaking of the Atlanta Falcons, you know, we'll obviously get to our Falcons flyover coming up at the top of the hour. It's kind of falling apart now for the Atlanta Braves as the Mets now opening up this lead. What's the actual score right now, Dylan? Because I missed that. I think, is it 6-2 right now? 8-2 now. My gosh. In the middle of my, because I can't watch the TV and do my rant at the same time. So 8-2 now. Put that gas on the fire. I need to see, I guess, I think all of the, well, maybe not all of the runs. Most all of the runs are Newcomb's, right? It's got to be at least 6 of those runs are Newcomb's, right? I'll have to look at the box score to see. I mean, but I think at least 6 runs are Newcomb's. Oh, boy. Yeah, not – remember we talked about Newcomb needs to have a good start? Now they're going to pitch Tukey coming up, I think, what, tomorrow? Okay. I mean, there's a lot to figure out on the back end of this pitching staff, man. There's a lot to figure out with – you know, after Sorokin free, you know the old saying of the Braves in 1957 was, what was it? Spawn insane and pray for rain, right? That was the old saying. What is it? Is it, you know, Soroka and Freed and, you know, we're going to be in need. I don't know. We'll have to come up with something, you know, for it because, yeah, it's not been good for some of these starts outside of those two guys out there. So, anyway. As we said, lots to get into with you this evening. Don't forget Rank 'em coming up at 10:40. You know, we'll keep you up to date on all the things that are going on with Braves baseball. You know, we don't have unfortunately we don't have our sports flashes that are airing at nighttime for you to give you scores and updates and things like that. So I guess that falls on to Chuckery to handle that part of it as well. Oh, by the way, too, watching some of the bubble the NBA. Really gets kicked off tonight. Yesterday, there were 2 games in the NBA. Tonight, they've got games galore that are going on. They had Milwaukee and Boston on. That game started off, it was 16-2 Milwaukee. Listen, I'm telling you right now, good luck knocking Milwaukee out of this tournament. When we get to this actual tournament that's going on, good luck knocking them out. I think that this is going to be their year. I'm trying to remember, as we go to break, I'll have to have Dylan look up. I can't remember who coaches the Bucks. I'll have to see if Dylan can find that. We'll have to get Google on top of it. Have to see who. I can't remember. Gosh darn, I can't remember that coach's name. It'll come to me. Don't worry. When we get back from the top of the hour, it'll be time for our Falcons flyover. It's all next. It is John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and on your radio.com app.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.